And it has already been worth the difficult drive over tonight, and just getting from Greenville here. And so, but the Lord got us here safe, and I'm very grateful for that. I just sitting back there, I'm just amazed at how much the Lord loves me. I'm amazed by that. I'm so amazed because I know me. I know how hard it would be to love me. But I'm glad the Lord does love me tonight. Amen. Glad to be in His house. We have not been here in the meeting, but I love it when you can go somewhere and you can just hook right in. You can just hook right in with the people and what the Lord's doing. I'm very grateful for the good reports of what God's doing. I believe this, and this isn't the first time you've heard this, but I do believe that as long as you're obedient, I believe He'll keep working. I believe that. I mean, you know, somebody said, what all will it do? I don't know, but I believe it'll be right. And if you obey Him, you won't regret it. I've never regretted obeying the Lord. I've never gone back and said, man, I never went back and said, man, I wish I hadn't got saved. I've never gone back and said, boy, I really hate that I yielded to God. And it was, no. You'll always be glad when you obey Him. And I'm grateful for what the Lord's doing. We are excited about bringing our group down tomorrow and just trying to hook in and being with you tomorrow night. Our young people are so excited about coming tomorrow night and being at the church here. And we're looking forward to that. I'd like for you to take your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 17. And I say this, I don't feel a need or don't feel rushed by no means. But I do feel just a heavy burden to get to where the Lord would have us to go. I am so thrilled tonight to have my wife with me this evening. The last few meetings I've been in, I've been out of town and been going to church by myself at night. But I'm telling you, I guess a little bit lonely right there. So praise God, I ain't lonely tonight. Hallelujah. And I know Jesus is always with me, but it sure is good to have my Wheezy with me too. Amen. So I'm thankful she got to come. That's bad if your wife won't come hear you preach. Amen right there. So she came with me, and I was coming over here thinking, well, this is like date night for us. You know, you might not get a steak, might be a nab and a soda pop, but I'm so grateful for the good fellowship, what God's done for us. And then I want to mention, this is Brother Josiah and Miss Abby. They finished their college exams today at Gardner Webb University. They live in Monroe, North Carolina. They took a detour. They're heading home for the summer after the service tonight. But they made a detour, want to get down here and be in church. And I'm very thankful for that. You know this here, the devil ain't got all the young people. And it's worth holding up a high standard and giving them the truth. That still works. I believe that, don't you? And I believe you've got some evidence of that here tonight. Love you, Pastor. He's very, far as I know, Miss Jenny might straighten me out, but I believe he's pretty easy to love. Amen. I don't know. I'm not having an altar call tonight, amen. But I'm thankful for Brother Rochester. God, when God knits your heart together with people, when you're in the glory, you'll be knit forever. God did that for us in just some high times and some things God was doing at camp, so I'm very thankful for that. Matthew chapter number 17 will be our text tonight. And I want to begin reading in verse number 14, Matthew chapter 17. And verse number 14 is where my heart's at. The Lord's just settled us in all day. He's been doing that this week. And I want to try to give you what's on my heart for tonight. Matthew 17, verse number 14. The Bible said, and when they were come to the multitude, the Bible says, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. Where he's a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples. They could not cure him. Now if the story ends there, we're in bad shape, aren't we? Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, this is after this, and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I like that terminology, don't you? Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for letting me be in church tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the good help that you've been giving in these days. And Lord, your people have been hungry, and Lord, for something more than the normal, something more than just going through the motions. And God, you've been meeting and granting that. Help us, God, at this seemingly tipping point tonight, God, not to grieve you, not to, Lord, to stiffen up on you, but God, I pray that we would yield to you tonight. Lord, I don't know the hearts you do. If there'd be somebody lost, God, I pray you'd save them. And God, tonight I pray that we get under a real burden and a desire, and I realize there's some help tonight if we'll turn our heart toward you. Lord, I sure do need you tonight. I want to make sure that I remind myself how bad I need you in this hour. Lord, will you do the preaching tonight and help your people? And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. When you come into this account, if you study your Bible and walk through, you probably are going to find the heading that the disciples and the Lord have just descended down from the Mount of Transfiguration. They've been on that mountain, and the Bible talked about the way that they viewed him, the way they saw him. And I really don't have a good answer for why Peter, James, and John got to see those things. I'm sure tonight, if you're wondering, Brother Rochester can give us the answer for all doctrinal questions. Go to Brother Rochester. All God's people said amen right there. I don't really know why. I don't know what the reasoning was that they saw more, but I am interested. If God's going to let somebody see more, I want to be a part of that group. And I want to see God do more, and I want to have more experiences with God, just as he allowed those disciples to do. So when they come down from that Mount of Transfiguration, they're coming down, and the Bible said that just immediately as they come down, the Bible said that this daddy now is meeting the Lord with his problem. Now how relatable is that? That just as soon as you come from a mountaintop experience, you're going to be met with some difficulty. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I like mountaintop experiences. I like to be around the moving of God. I don't know about you. I'm not a confrontational person, unless I'm on I-85 driving. Say amen right there. And but I don't like for trouble to come. But the fact of it is that just like the disciples are here, that it does not take long moving from a high point in your life that there are going to be some problems. I don't have to tell you this. You know that when God gets moving, the adversary begins fighting. And you find him fighting in areas that maybe he's never fought before. But thank God, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. By the way, and I know Brother Webb mentioned this, but thank God, I'm glad that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Matter of fact, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And so there's going to be some adversity, but praise God, I'm glad I know the one that can overcome the adversity. Amen. And so our Lord meets there. Now, notice the problem that's brought to Christ. Now, very familiar. The Bible tells us about this man's son, and the Scripture tells us that really this is what we would call a hopeless situation. The Bible uses the term that he is a lunatic. That word lunatic, it means crazy. It means moonstruck. It means to be one that would just, seemingly you can't get anything to register. And how many people do you know today that are lost without God, and they're living in the world, and they're seemingly living for the pleasures of the world, and you feel like you just can't get through to them? But thank God, if they ever met Jesus, I promise you this, nothing they find out there could ever compare to what the child of God has in being born again by the good grace of God.
And so the Bible tells us that he is lunatic, is crazy, or moonstruck. He has actions about him that seemingly are unexplainable. As a matter of fact, Mark tells us that he had been this way since he was a child. And then the scripture uses the term sore vexed. Brother Rochester, that means that he had been living a life. The lifestyle he has is producing nothing but pain and aggression. That's what we were before Jesus moved in. I mean, we were lunatic. We did things that really just didn't make sense. And we got involved in sin, and we were pursuing sin, and that's what we were doing. But thank God for the day that Jesus stepped into our world and God changed our direction. I got born again by the good grace of God. And so here this man's son is, and really in our scripture, from what the daddy can do, he's a helpless person. And then I find this. Notice that he is harmful to himself. Now we're going somewhere, just hang with me. In verse number 15, the Bible said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, sore vexed," watch this, "and oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water." Now look at what's happening to this son. We know that he's possessed. We know he's being driven by devils. The Bible said that he's lunatic, he's sore vexed, there's no joy. And then the Bible said that this daddy now is having to watch his son throw himself into the fire and throw himself into the water. When I think about this person, Brother Josiah, I see somebody who really is self-destructing. His greatest enemy is himself. And he is pursuing the things of the world. And isn't that exactly how the devil treats his children? Brother Rochette, that the devil doesn't care if you got clothes on your back or shoes on your feet. The devil doesn't care what kind of sin toys you get involved in. The devil never cared about if you made it home at night. That's the kind of father he is. I sure am glad at 14 years old I changed who my father was. And he cares about me and loves me. I thank God for the life that I get to live for Jesus. But Miss Jenny, I was preaching at RBT a few weeks ago, and one of their little girls stood up and testified. And she said this, "I thank God for the life that I get to live." I say hallelujah for the life that I get to live for Jesus Christ. Saved by the grace of God, I've got peace in my heart. The Holy Ghost dwells in me. I'm going to heaven one day. It is a joy to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a life that, though opposite from where we are now, we can identify with this situation. And then I find that really things get worse. He's bad. And according to verse number 16, at some point, while our Lord is away, this man has gone to the disciples. And when he goes to those disciples, he wants those disciples to help him, but he quickly finds out that the disciples can't get the job done. I mean, can you imagine how his hopes would have been up? Maybe if I can get to one of these men that know Jesus. Let me tell you something now. You don't need to get to somebody who knows Jesus. You need to get to Jesus tonight. Come on now. You talk about business picking up. I thank God for God's people. Had a Christian mom and a Christian daddy. Had that love God, lived for Jesus. But mama could not save me. And daddy could not save me. But when I made my way to Jesus, thank God business picked up. And I got born again by the good grace of God. So this daddy makes it to him, and to bring that to those disciples, prayer and fasting is what Jesus tells them later, uses this as a point of teaching. But then I notice in verse 17 and 18, the Bible talks about the healing that he experienced. Look at verse number 18. The Bible said, "And Jesus rebuked the devil." There was one that had greater power than the devil. That ain't deep right there, but I'm telling you, the only way that you could get loose from sin and loose from Satan, if there was somebody that was stronger than the sin and stronger than the devil that could set you free. I'm about to get tanked up, thank God. I'm glad one day Jesus came by. I was bound in my sin. I was bound to self. I was living for the devil, but thank God for the day that Jesus set me free and I got born again by the grace. Praise God, you're looking at a free free man tonight, thank God. I've been freed by the power of Jesus. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am a new man because of Jesus. Now notice what happened. Look at your Bible. In verse, I believe it's verse number 18, the Bible said, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child, the Bible said, was cured from that very hour. Now that word cure, it means to heal. It means to make whole. Meaning Jesus took care of what was wrong with him. But that word cure also means, you know what that word cure means? It means to worship. What about that? Meaning that here he was, bound by the devil, bound by the world, bound by his sin. But as soon as Jesus set him free, thank God, he was changed internally. He was changed externally. He was changed in his heart. He was changed in his mind. And he began to worship God that God had saved him. Was it not our Lord who said, okay, those 70 come back and they said, praise God, we've got power over serpents and we've been healing people and doing all this. I don't know about y'all, but I'd have to have a real measure of faith to go to picking up serpents. Somebody help me right there. Those men come back rejoicing in what they could do. And Jesus told them, I saw the devil falling. He said, I'll tell you what, boys. I'll tell you where you're going to be all right. If you'll purpose in your heart every day of your life to rejoice in the fact that your name is written down. I don't know who the next president's going to be, but I know that my name is written down. I don't know if the sun's going to shine tomorrow, but I know that my name is written down. And I can rejoice in the eternal security. I've been saved by the good grace of God. His life has changed. But notice a few things, if you will. I want you to look in our text. When the Lord deals and helps this son, the scripture does not mention any conversation between him and Christ. But it does give us some details about what the daddy did that he would get the attention of God to help his son. Can I give you a few things tonight? First of all, notice this, that in verse number 14, the daddy knew who to come to. Amen. Daddy knew who to come to. Are you ready? He hadn't been to the disciples. He had gone into the water for him. He had gone into the fire for him. But now, thank God, he's going to Jesus for him. And the greatest thing you'll ever do for your children is to go to Jesus for him. Now watch it now. In verse number 14, the Bible said, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man. I believe this. I believe like many, he had heard that there was a miracle worker that could change lives. He had heard that there's one who has been helping those who are lunatic. He had heard that there is somebody, thank God, that can help his boy. And he didn't hesitate, but he made sure that he made a straight line and he got to Jesus. I don't know what your need is tonight. I don't know what your burden is tonight, but there'll be some help for you if you can just find your way to a man named Jesus. Daddy knew who to come to. And by the way tonight, he is not known for turning people away. Are you listening? Thank God there ain't no barbed wire around the altar tonight. The Lord was not known for turning people away. They said, look at him eating with publicans. Look at him eating with sinners. Look at him worshiping there in the same house as Mary. I'll tell you why he did, because when Jesus met him, he changed their life. And when you get to Jesus, he'll change your life. I don't know what your need is, don't know what your burden is, don't know how big it is, but thank God there's help if you can just get to Jesus tonight. Not only do you find that he knew, Daddy knew who to come to. But the next thing I noticed in verse 14, he didn't just know who to come to, he knew how to approach him. And this is interesting to me. The Bible said in verse number 15, and the Bible said, excuse me, back in verse 14, a certain man kneeling down to him. Now let's consider this for just a moment. Here this man is, he's heavy burdened, he's heavy hearted, he's had difficult, all these things. And when he comes to Christ, he doesn't come to Jesus marching up to him, demanding anything from him. But when he comes to Jesus, the Bible said he came, and he came kneeling down. I like going to churches that still use these altars, don't you? I'm going to be honest with you. I get, you know, one thing I love about Morningstar, I like it when people go to the altar and then folks just jump in there with you. I like that. That don't make me a bit nervous. That makes me feel right. I about jumped up and just got in the middle of you and somebody said, who in the world is that guy down here? I'm just telling you, I like it when somebody gets to helping you bear some burdens. But here this man is, when he comes to Christ, he doesn't come to Jesus acting as if Jesus owed him something. He never said, all right, Lord, you did this for them, so because you did it for them, you owe me something. As a matter of fact, Jesus did not come demanding, or this man didn't come demanding anything of Jesus. When you read the text, he doesn't show up there saying, okay, and I know, I realize you find these folks today who say they're going to demand God do this, and they're going to demand. I'm going to tell you something. If you go demanding of him and asking God for what you deserve, you're going to come up empty, friend. I sure am glad God didn't give me what I deserve. I'm not just talking about after salvation. I'm talking about, thank God, I'm glad today that God has not given me what I deserved. Yes, I deserve to be in hell. I deserve to be shipwrecked. I deserve to be out in the world. But I want to say, thank God that God has not given us what we deserve. Amen. So this man comes, and when he comes to him, he bows down as a beggar to a king. Hey, man. When he comes to Jesus, he bows down as a servant to his master. He bows down, oh my, as a child to his father. He is bowing in the presence of royalty, realizing that if it gets done, oh my, he's going to have to do it. Can you imagine others saying, well, I wouldn't have bowed down that way. I wouldn't have got embarrassed that way. I wouldn't have made a spectacle that way. And those same people would have left empty. But Daddy got over himself. Daddy got over who he was. Daddy didn't care what they thought about him. He was just glad that Jesus was going to help his boy. Boy, it'd do us all good just to kind of get over ourselves a little bit, wouldn't it? When he comes in, Brother Wright, he comes in and he says, I don't really care what you think about me. This is what's wonderful. Now you think about this. At our church here just a few weeks ago, and I got a little candy stash in my office up there, and sometimes the kids will come and they wait on me. They're like a bunch of spies. And they're waiting on me to go to my office to put microphones up and those kinds of things. And next thing I know, I hear some little feet running up there. And I'll pull that candy. And by the way, we should let me forget, my candy drawer's empty. We better fill it up, or we might not be able to have church on Sunday. And so when here a few weeks ago, I'd given out candy, and I'm walking out the door, and I'm getting ready to head down. I'm going back down to leave. And one of those youngins, little Ava, who's got a grin about that big. I mean, I'm talking about grin, buddy. And little Ava was coming up the steps, and buddy, when she saw me coming out, I mean, that little countenance just dropped. I mean, my heart melted. She said, I guess I missed candy time, didn't I? And she just kind of swooped down real low, and she starts turning back. Now, I know what y'all thinking. I'm some old hard-hearted thing and say, yeah, you missed candy, and you ain't having none. Oh, no. You know what I did? I gladly went back and locked that door and made sure little Ava got some candy. Listen to me now. And if little Ava can move my heart that way, then how much more can one of God's youngins move his heart? Don't know what the need is. Don't know the burden. I don't know how far lost they are. But I do know this. He can be moved. He can be touched. And he's looking for somebody who knows if I'm going to get help, I've got to get to God. Amen. Many times we come up empty because we go to God empty. Come here now. Many times we come back empty. Brother Rochester, God, when we go to him, but God doesn't owe us a thing. Hallelujah. Now watch it. And then it gets a little bit further. Watch it now. In verse number 15, the Bible said, Lord, here's what he said, Lord, have mercy on me. Yeah. Amen. Now let that sink in. When he comes to the Lord, now we know this, the Lord knows about the Son, He knows about the disciples' efforts, He knows all of those things. And yet when this man comes to Christ, he doesn't come up asking for specifics yet. The first thing out of his mouth is, Lord, have mercy on us. Now let's consider that for just a moment. That word mercy means divine compassion. Praise God. It means to extend grace. When someone asks for mercy, what they're doing is they're saying, now I know I don't deserve this, but I'm asking you to do it anyway. Oh my. When somebody says, will you have mercy, they're saying, listen, I know I don't really have any, I can't buy it and I can't earn it, and I know how rotten I am, and I know how wicked I am, and I know how inconsistent I am, but here is a daddy saying, but Lord, here's one thing I know, if any good gets done, you've got to do it. If there's any help from my boy, you've got to give it. I can't do it, but thank God there's a man called Jesus, and we're asking him to show mercy. Now let's think about this. Stay with me now. In Matthew 9:27, look at the theme. There are two blind men who show up and they find out Jesus is passing by. And in Matthew 9:27, those two blind men cry out and they ask for mercy. In Matthew 15:22, there's a Canaanitish woman who asked for mercy for her daughter. In Matthew 20:30, there are two blind men again who ask the Lord for mercy. In Mark 10:47, blind Bartimaeus said this, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. In Luke 17:10, there are 10 lepers who find out Jesus is passing by and they meet him out on the side of the street and they ask him for mercy. In Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 13 mentioned everything he was, but in verse 16, Paul said, but I obtain mercy. Hebrews 4:16, the Hebrew writer said this, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. In Lamentations 3, Jeremiah said it this way, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. No wonder the psalmist David said in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God didn't give me what I deserved before I got saved. God didn't give me what I deserved after I got saved. God didn't give me what I deserve today. He is a God of mercy. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Has God showed you any mercy this week? Every time God answers a prayer, it is the mercy and the goodness of God Almighty. Every time you go home at night and you got clothes on your back, shoes on your feet, every time you sit down to a table of food, it is the mercy of God. Every time a sinner walks the aisle, it's the mercy of God. Every time you make it through a day, it's the mercy of God. Oh, every time you keep your head above water when you should have drowned, it was the mercy of God. Every time the devil tried to take you down and God brought you through, it is the mercy of God. He is a God of mercy. Hallelujah, Lord. Brother J.D., you know what God's been doing around here? With everything in the world going on, everything around us upside down, what God's been doing right here, He's just been coming by and dropping off handfuls of mercy. Oh, hallelujah, for He hath not dealt with us according to our iniquities. He's not rewarding us according to our sins. God has been merciful. Amen. Somebody said, I'm a self-made man. You go right ahead and be that self-made man, sir. Hey, what I want to do, I just want to keep on living hand to mouth. His hand of mercy to my mouth. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, no, I hadn't gotten nowhere yet, Brother Cameron. I ain't ready to write no books yet. Tell what I'm just going to do. I'm just going to keep on depending on His mercy. This man knew that Jesus was moved by mercy. I'm going to move on, but I'm getting hung up right here. He knew that Jesus specialized in hopeless cases. He knew that Jesus was real good at taking time for other that everybody else said, oh, don't mess with them no more. There's some of you in here, somebody tried to fix you, and somebody tried to counsel you, and somebody tried to give you a book to read. And I'm all for that, but I'm telling you, nothing changed your life like the God of heaven passing by your way. And instead of putting you in hell, God showed you mercy. I want to say thank God. He loves the sinner, and He loves His children, and He loves His bride, and He loves you, mama, and He loves you, daddy, and God will show mercy. Say amen. So, I get overwhelmed when I think about how merciful He is. But Jeremiah said it this way in Lamentations. He says, "Is that the Lord's mercy we are not consumed?" Bastion's felt all those things. And he said, "They are new every morning." Let me ask you a question. Anybody had to tap into mercy today? Woo! Can I just report to you tonight? Can I remind you how big our God is? Every one of us made it tonight because of His mercy. And guess what? While you're in church tonight, God is not out making a Sam's run trying to find mercy. He isn't on Amazon Prime trying to find a little bit more mercy. He is not up in heaven twiddling His thumb wondering how. Oh no, friend, when you get up in the morning, He's got mercy for you. He's got mercy for your little family. He's got mercy on the job. He's got mercy. And while the years roll by, He is the title deed holder mercy, and He'll keep giving mercy. Oh, thank God for His mercy. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, my. He knew who to come to. He knew how to approach Him. He knew what to ask for. But then I thought about Him. He knew. Watch this. Look at verse 17 again. He knew who to give Him to. Look at verse 17. Look at verse number 17. You ready? The Bible said, "Then Jesus answered and said, Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" He said, "Now listen, there's some things you got to learn. I'm not going to be with you long. My days on this earth's numbered." And we know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I mean, here's what He said. He said, you got to get a hold of this. And so it sounds like a rebuke. You ever go to your parents and ask them for something and they spend about 5 or 10 minutes as to why you're not going to get to do it. But then right there at the end, they give you the good news. Come on now. Well, look now. Jesus has made some very strong statements about His departure and about what they can do. But then He ain't forgotten about the boy, and He ain't forgotten about the daddy. Watch it now. Who's He talking to? He said, "Bring him hither to me." Now the disciples couldn't do it, right? We know that. The disciples, I believe they wanted to. I believe they wanted to help Him. Daddy wanted to help Him. But it got to a point where everybody just had to throw their hands up and say, "I can't help Him." Yeah, that's right. When it got to where nobody could help Him, Jesus said, "Okay, bring Him to me." Amen. Come on now. I mean, everybody's worked and they tried. And here's what the Lord said. "Okay, bring Him here." Can I say this? Jesus don't never let anybody leave Him empty unless you choose to reject Jesus. Miss Jenny, here he is now. And here, Dad, can you imagine now? He, the water, the fire. This daddy's got scars on his hand, burn marks. No telling how many times that daddy's life's been in danger trying to help him. I mean, this is just an awful situation. It gets worse and worse and worse. I mean, they have lived with this thing for 12 long years. It has altered their life. It has broken their heart. And then they hear the sweetest words you could ever hear from Jesus. Bring him to me. Let me ask you something. Jesus ever spoke to you and said, "Hey, why don't you bring it to me?" Oh yeah. See, he's up there, and at any point in time, what he does, he lets that thing get to a point where when he does it, the daddy can't take credit, the disciples can't take credit. The only person that gets any glory for this man being healed is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? Oh, help me now. Sometimes the struggle we go through, just waiting on the Lord, just waiting to get to that point where he can tell us, okay, give it to me. I'm glad, thank God. Listen, I'm glad that he can handle my burdens tonight. And I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't know who you're praying for. I don't know what's big in your life. I don't know those details. I haven't talked to Brother Rock. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven tonight. Your burden, your battle, your problem, whatever it is that's big in your life, that when you feel like, hey, what God said, I want you to bring it to me. You can carry it if you want to, but why don't you let me help you carry it? You can try to fix it if you want to, but why don't you come to me? Hey, I'm your father. I want to help you. Watch it now. Notice the conversation. Turn in your Bible, if you will. I want to give you just a few things. I'll be done. Notice in your Bible, the book of Mark, chapter number 9, is going to give us a few more details about the conversation. Look at the conversation, Mark, chapter number 9. And I want you to meet me there in verse number 21, all right? Verse number 21. Mark 9, verse number 21. All right? In Mark 9, verse number 21. Now, notice the conversation. And when Mark's writing and gives us some more details, I think we can identify even a little bit more. Look at verse 21. You ready? And he asked his father, and here's what he said. He asked his father, how long ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. It's been a long battle, long time to carry it. He just said, and I said this a while ago, my entire life's been altered by this. Now watch it now. How many believe the Bible's true? Say amen right there. No filler words in our Bible. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, this daddy said, Lord, he said, it's come on him since he was a child. Now get a hold of this. Since he was a child, the devil's been trying to wreck and destroy this boy's life. Brother Rochester, since he was a little child, daddy is admitting that for so a long time now, since he was a child, the enemy has been trying to destroy my child. You know what Pastor said at the beginning of the service? I was amazed how God just linked our heart. You know what? There's a devil out here that is doing everything he can to wreck our children. That's right. You know I'm right about it. But you got what this, and I know, well, the devil's working against him. But on the other side, he's got a daddy that's determined and desperate to get his boy to Jesus. We know this. We know the devil comes and he comes to destroy and he comes to take and he comes to, and all those kinds of things. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. When I think about that verse, that makes me want to pray harder and pray more. As far as I know tonight, my children have a testimony of salvation, and I thank God for that. But just because they're saved does not mean the devil that want to destroy their life. Daddy has got to keep praying for his babies. You know this, nobody will carry a burden for our children like mom and daddy will. That's right. You know I'm right. Nobody will pray. Nobody will get a hold of heaven. Nobody. I mean, like that mama, she's going through those sacrifices. That has been there. My wife and I, we were coming down the road. I know I'm getting older. I'm getting a little sappy. I'm getting a little bit emotional. I ain't been sleeping well. I don't know what it is, but we was coming down the road, and I saw a field full of youngins playing t-ball. I immediately went back to Seth playing t-ball, and it reminded me how quick time passes by. Oh, my goodness. And we can't take a day off. We can't take a year off. We can't take a revival off. We can't take a meeting off. Somebody has got to get in the trenches to get our babies and grandbabies to God. Amen. Now watch it. So here's what he said in verse 22. Verse 22, the Bible said, oft times it hath cast them into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. There's that mercy word again. Have compassion on us and help us. Lord, if you can do it. Here's what he's saying. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do and I don't know how you're going to do it, but I do know this. You're the only one that can do it. You got anything tonight that's on your heart that you don't know how it's going to get done and you don't know when it's going to get done, but you have arrived to the conclusion, if it gets done, God's going to have to do it. Can I testify for about half a minute right here? Can I just stop in the middle of preaching and testify for just a minute? I got this, and I'm just a few weeks ago, we took our young people up. We had a weekend with them, and just I'm just trying to make a long story short. Our young people, our teenagers, got under a burden for our preteens at the church. I mean, you're talking about a beautiful sight, seeing young people pulling prayer lists out and praying over them. And preacher, we started praying over them on that last weekend in the month of March. Young people have been pulling this prayer list out and going down those names and praying and making commitments to pray. You know what? When we got back home, you know what everybody was wondering? I wonder who's going to be first. You know what I'm talking about, because God's been doing some of that here. I wonder who God's going to save next. I wonder what God's going to do next. Yeah. But listen, Easter Sunday night, we was having church, and guess what happened? Antonio Hernandez, he's one of the last lines on that. What happened to him? Some folks got under a burden, got to praying, got to calling Antonio's name out. You know what happened? Antonio got saved that night. Amen. Now, wait a minute now. Come here. Then, and we've been praying. We've been praying. We're trying to go to this and pray. We had a little girl we was praying for, and I'm telling you, it just seemed like it wasn't registering. And we was burdened for, and we'd see God convict her. Man, she wouldn't make a move. She wouldn't move to God. And two Friday nights ago, we was having our youth meeting. Man of God's up preaching. And in the middle of the service, one of these youngins we've been praying for looked at her daddy, heartbroken, big old tears coming out. He said, "Daddy, I think I need to be saved." Amen. You know who that was? That was Brother Milton Taylor's granddaughter. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, I'd been in the altar praying, and she got saved about three quarters way through service. When I got up out of that altar, I'm telling you, and I saw her coming toward me. By the time she's coming toward me, I knew she wasn't coming for salvation. She was coming to let me in, let me know she done got salvation. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. There's a devil out there who'll tell you it is done and gone and hopeless. But there's a God in heaven who says, "I can." Preacher, I can't, you've seen it, I've seen it, you've seen things where you thought, man, it ain't never going to happen. I don't know how it's going to, I mean, sometimes God just steps into a mess. That's what God did when he got me. He stepped into a mess and he worked a miracle, amen. And God will do it for you too. Let me read two more verses, I'm done. Verse 23, Jesus said unto them, "If thou canst believe." Isn't it amazing what Jesus just did there? The daddy said, "If thou canst," in verse 22. Jesus said, "I can." And what is he saying? If you can, I can. If you can believe me, I can do it. God's looking for some people in 2023 that'll just believe him for something. Verse 24, watch it. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." You realize what he just told him? He said, "Lord, I believe you can do it." Brother Rochester, I'm sure, could add so much to this, but I want to say this. He said, "Lord, I believe you. I believe you can do it, but where I'm struggling with is, can you do it for me?" Lord, I believe you can do it, and I believe you can help me. But I just don't know. I'm struggling with, can you do it for me? Can I tell you something tonight? He is no respecter of persons. God can save a child over here. He can save your loved one. If God can meet a need over here, God can do it for you too.
You know why? Because it ain't based on us. It's based on Him and His mercy. We're standing together. Heads are bowed while the musicians are coming. Whatever's on Pastor's heart by way of music or anything tonight, they're going to come and get ready for that. Pastor's going to come in just a moment. But I just wonder, if anybody's gotten where that daddy got. Just desperate. Just desperate enough to step out and put all your faith and belief in the One who can. I'm asking you, oh, He can do it. He can do that tonight. Why don't you believe Him? Folks are moving tonight. What about you? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, in Jesus' name, You know, and You know all about it. But God, I want to find me a little place, and I want to tell You about it all again. God, not I know You're not going to do it for me, but You're going to do it for Jesus' sake, because Your mercy is endureth forever. Help Your people tonight. I don't know the heart, don't know the burden, don't know the need, but God, I do know You do. Somebody here tonight feels like they've been forgotten about. But God, I want You to remind them, if You will, that You hadn't forgotten about them and You love them. And nobody else might know, but You do. Help Your people tonight.